Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm back, boo! It's Monday. I hope you've all woken up on the right side of the bed this morning. I'm hoping it's like sunny because I had a little bit of taste of the sun on Sunday. Literally the day I'm recording this. It was such nice weather today. Gets me feeling good. I hope you all had a lush weekend as well. I went to London on Saturday to see my like London gang of friends. And I had such a good time. We went to this place for brunch. And guys, the brunch was so expensive. I don't recommend going there. We went to this place called Chotto Mat. And oh my God, like, you know, when you go to a bottomless brunch, don't you just think that obviously the drinks and food are like, when they're advertising a price, that would obviously be included. Like, we just got like the whole concept of it so muddled up. Ended up spending like a small fortune each. I mean, the food was amazing, to be fair, but if you're wanting just like it literally was a sobering up moment. We were like, whoa, that was a lot. And then we went for drinks afterwards. And, you know, like, what am I trying to say? I, like, really just have been not interested in guys, like, at all, like, dating. I just never really have been. I don't know. I think it's just because I don't meet people that excite me. But, you know, when you meet exciting people and then you remember, like, you're like, oh yes, this is the vibe, this is the feeling. That happened to me on Saturday night, but it's one of those things where like it's not a possible situation, but I just like reminded myself that there are actually delicious men out there that find me attractive. Sometimes you just forget those things, you know, especially if you're not putting yourself out there or like anything. It's quite easy to like get into your head about just like why things aren't happening, why aren't you doing this, but then I remember that I don't really go out, so it was actually like nice to go out and remind myself and like meet people and be like, oh yes, this is fun and I love it. So I had a great weekend, hope you guys did too. Sorry I've been a little bit MIA. When you're doing this all on your own and you know, you just have to sit down and kind of have conversations with yourself. I was listening to the Alex Cooper Diary of a CEO episode that she did, and she just was saying a lot of things that I totally resonated with. If you guys don't know, she's like the host of the Call Her Daddy podcast, was a duo and then went solo, and she was kind of talking all about that. And she was talking about how, you know, loves podcasting and stuff, but when she was having to do like solo episodes because she was just figuring out still like what she wanted to do, she was feeling a bit like, it's quite hard to like sit down and have like a conversation sort of like with yourself for an hour sometimes if you like don't know what to talk about. So that's how I feel, and that's why I like let myself take breaks and stuff like that, because you know I never want to produce episodes that are forced and it just feels like I just have to sit down and say this because it's expected. Like, I want to sit down when I, you know, have things to talk about or like want things to talk about. And I definitely say this all the time, I know, want to get down the route of getting back into my interviewing things, like interviewing episodes with guests and stuff. I'm saying this out loud so I can actually just remind myself, Rachel, come on, you say that you're going to do this, you just sit down and just plan it out. But today I thought, with it being a Monday, let's just start the week. You guys know I absolutely love my like self-therapy sessions. And I thought, why not give you guys the chance as well to send in your current dilemmas, whatever is like going on in your life, like the problems. And let's talk about it. Let's dissect. Let's have like a dilemma dumping on this Monday. And I'm so glad that I asked because you guys sent in so many that I feel like a lot of us are going to resonate with. So we want this to be some relatable Monday content, helping each other out if you're on your way to work or whatever. And I'm going to read something out in a minute and you're going to be like, that literally is what's happening in my life. I love podcasts like that or episodes like that or just like things like that when you can just relate. So that's what we're doing today. Going to start the week with some dilemma dumping that we can hopefully, well, maybe not hopefully, all relate to. And a little self-therapy. Why the fuck not?
Any questions is normal. It's fun to talk about this stuff. Nothing is going to be off limits.
Okay, first dilemma. Let's just jump straight into it. Somebody has said, this is going to be like maybe a different direction than maybe what people were expecting, but I do want to give like variation on the dilemmas that we're tackling. Somebody said, working from home 4 to 5 days a week has me losing all the motivation. How do you stay motivated working from home? I feel like this is such a like unspoken topic, perhaps in like the influencer content creator like space, like it's like not really spoken about. And for me, I think it was very important for me. And it's also why I moved out quite young is you need to have the separation from like your bedroom and, you know, having like a workspace. So you actually have something to like get up for and like go and do, if that makes sense. Because when I used to live at home, like years and years ago now, I obviously just in my parents' house had my bedroom, right? And so I was like doing all of my stuff like in my room because, you know, talking to a camera and stuff, I don't want to be like downstairs doing that in front of people. So for me, it just felt like my safe space, my bedroom, my like sanctuary where I go to relax. It was almost like I was waking up in my office almost. Do you know what I mean? There was no separation for me of like, this is my relaxing space, like, because I was also filming and just, like, doing everything, like, in my room, like, wanting to, like, edit in my room and stuff like that. And I feel like it's so easy as well if you work from, like, a laptop and stuff. It feels so easy to just, you know, working from home, let's just bring the laptop into bed and work from bed. And if that works for some people, that's fine. But I feel like for me, that's where I was, like, struggling to kind of, like, lose the I was like losing motivation or like, I don't know. I just think you need, if you're going to be working from home, you need a reason to get up. So like, don't bring the laptop to bed. Set up a desk like in your dining room or something like that. So therefore you've got a reason to get up and work from, so you will actually work, if that makes sense. And I feel like it's important to like have some structure. Obviously take advantage of the fact that you're working from home. It's a blessing to be able to work from home. Because, you know, you're in your own space, you can technically like do what you want. But I think it's so important to set yourself some structure and some boundaries. And, you know, maybe if that's just having like a notepad by your computer or your laptop with like a to-do list and just making sure that you're ticking things off and like actually getting things done. Sometimes actually having a list kind of motivates me to do things more because, you know, I've got a list and it's really subconsciously quite satisfying to like tick it off and like tick things off. It makes you feel really good, like knowing that you've like ticked everything off that you need to do for the day. Like I said, obviously take advantage, you know, allow yourself some breaks here and there. But, you know, if you've got the structure and the time set out, it should hopefully not feel like guilty. Like you shouldn't like let yourself feel guilty about like doing those things because, you know, you've got the balance there of working and like having breaks and stuff like that. I'm trying to just think like in terms of like just like staying motivated. That's why I think, again, taking advantage of the fact that you are working from home, allowing yourself these breaks, like sort of like, so therefore there's things for you to work towards, you know, work solidly for like an hour and a half, you know, then watch an episode of something and so forth. I don't really like, sounds like so stupid. I don't necessarily know how it works in terms of like when you're working from home, you know, have you got people checking that you're working and stuff like that? I don't know, because I've never sort of been in that situation. I obviously hear things like from my friends and stuff, and I see TikToks about people like clocking in, and I don't really know. So I can only like speak from a certain point and just kind of suggest things as such. But I hope that helps. I feel like, yeah, like when you're working from home, it feels like it could be so easy to just like not do anything. But obviously you saying that, I think you're just, you're wanting some answer. So I think that's what I would do, is just make sure I've got my separate workspace to just like my bed, like don't work from bed, like actually get up and like, or like make your desk look really pretty. So, you know, it's actually, you want to go and work at the desk. Write your day out in bullet points, in the sense of like a list that you can tick off. Allow yourself the breaks. Take advantage of the fact that you can be at home. And that also gives you something to work towards, to hopefully keep you motivated. I hope that helps. And I've not just said like stuff that's just, you can't do that. Like, I feel like that's possible, right? Okay, second dilemma. Somebody said, I've met this guy 5 times and he hasn't initiated any physical contact. Is this a friendship? That is a sticky one still, because 5 times. I mean, it's all going to be pretty circumstantial, okay? So what have you guys done like in those 5 times? Like, what were the dates? I'm assuming they were dates. They were suggested as dates. Like, he said, like, I want to take you out, or like vice versa. It was obviously said as a date. That would be the starting point. Because if it's not really sort of been said as a date, and they've just been like, I don't know, dog walks or a coffee or like something that's fairly platonic rather than like a dinner date, or like, you know, something that is definitely more seen as like a romantic date. So that's going to be the first sort of point into like, so what were these encounters? What were the meetings? Sometimes I feel like, as much as I love a really active date, like bowling or like something like that, sometimes, or like actually maybe it's those ones where it can be. So for example, like a sit down dinner, sometimes I find ones like that, yes, it's a romantic date, but there's not a lot of opportunity for physical touch, like unless you're holding hands across the table or like something like that. But sometimes that's quite hard to initiate. So that's why I don't actually really like doing sit down dinner dates, because I am like a touchy feely person. Because I think that's how you could really sort of tell. It'll either feel right or it won't. But then some people just find it so difficult. Like, they don't have that confidence. And as much as we want them to, like, if you just don't have it, he might be waiting for you to do it. And I think it also depends on, like, the other conversations that you've been having, like, over text and stuff. Are they sexual? Are they flirty? So therefore, you definitely know that, like, you know, the sexual vibe is there. Because then that can be a point of conversation. And I feel like you could probably bring it up and be like, look, I feel like we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. Like, you know, like what's going on? Like, I don't know. I just think communication is key. And it's easier said than done, I know. But if it's bothering you, just say it. Like, but obviously in a way that hopefully isn't just like, not like in an aggressive way. And don't take aggressively, like, so literally there. But like, you know, just there's easy sort of ways to say things, and you can sort of say it jokingly. Like, if it ever comes up, like, over text about, like, oh, you know, it's like some people are, like, all talk. So if he was, like, really want to kiss you, and it's like, okay, so, like, about that, like, why haven't we kissed yet? Like, you know, what's going on? Or worst case scenario is he's probably got a girlfriend on the side, or he's entertaining multiple people. But for your sake, I really hope that's not the case. And he's just a shy guy. And he's waiting for either you to do it, or maybe he's not sure if you want that from him. So yeah, just have a little conversation and suss it out. Because you don't, if you like this guy, you absolutely don't want to like accidentally end up in the friend zone, or like end up seeing him as a friend just because you just didn't communicate. Because I'm sure it's going to be easily overcome once you do that. Okay, dilemma number 3. Somebody said, recently single after a nine-year relationship. What do I do? Well, number one, you're asking the wrong person, because I can't even begin to imagine like what that feels like. You've kind of done like a laughing face and stuff, so I'm hoping that you're feeling okay about it. I think just allow yourself some time. There's absolutely no rush with your feelings. 9 years is a lot to overcome and get over. I don't know what stage you're at. I mean, you've said recently, so I'm assuming, yeah, you haven't been single for like too long. There is no rush. You're like saying, what do I do? Do whatever you need to do. If that's immediately book a girls' holiday and just like be surrounded by your friends, have some alone time, like rediscover who you are as a person. I can imagine, you know, over 9 years of being with someone and just kind of doing most things like as a duo and a couple, like figuring out who you are as a solo person is a journey. And I think just take the time with it. There's no rush. Don't compare yourself to what he's doing if you're like on good terms and like you haven't blocked each other or anything. Like, don't be like seeing what stage he's at and like thinking that you need to be there too, like blah, 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 blah. Because the thing is with boys is like they don't allow themselves to really like feel and be in the moment. It's always like the boy in a hetero relationship, like when people break up, it's the boy that's first to get with someone and move on really quickly, and then like 4 months down the line they come crawling back. And I feel like as women we like allow ourselves to be more like in touch with our feelings and allow ourselves time, like cry it out for weeks, like don't want to touch or like see anyone. But then that's actually healing, and we're actually working on ourselves to get over it. Like, we don't necessarily have those relapses. That I'm not speaking for everyone. I think I have definitely been there where I have, but that's not because I've not healed and I miss them. It just genuinely felt like the right thing to do. You know, I think we allow ourselves to have clarity and give ourselves time to realize what it is that we want and like to do. Whereas boys just act really quick and in the moment, and they're like, I'm recently single. What do recently single people do? We go out and just kiss people that we don't give a fuck about and not really let ourselves be in touch with feelings. Again, that's not all men. It's just what I've been a witness to and what I feel like is pretty common. So, you know, you're asking, what do I do? Whatever you think that you need to do. I'm assuming you want to move past this and get over it and the relationship is officially done. So I think just learning who you are and like what you want to do, like who you want to be. Are you wanting to like reinvent yourself? Like, you know, this is your time to do whatever you want. It's the one of the many perks, but like the main perk of being single. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Okay, this is a sad one because I can already, I just know people that this has happened to. Somebody said, I've been cheated on in the past and really struggling in my current relationship to not let it affect it and get me down and, you know, not think that this person's also going to cheat on me. Those kind of vibes. Again, I can't necessarily sort of speak, well, I can sort of speak from a little bit of experience in the sense of with someone that I used to, you know, be with essentially for like a long time, but like, I feel like you guys are going to be like, what? But I like had like an on and off thing for literally like 5 years with someone, like more like in school vibes. And you see it so often as well, like when someone essentially like cheats on you, and you have like sort of agree that you're gonna like move past it or like let it go. But then what am I trying to say? Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. I've been there in the sense of you're sort of saying, right, you don't want it to affect your current relationship. So I'm assuming that means that you're maybe wanting to check their phone or like are just really paranoid over like small things and stuff like that. To me, that sort of tells me that you never really got over what happened to you. And I'm actually also realizing, reading your question, the thing that I was going to say, it's actually not relevant at all. But then I've just realized that like I've brought it up and everyone's probably thinking like, Rachel, like what was the story there? My story there was going to be, sorry, that I've like been in an experience where essentially someone like cheated on me. Sort of, it wasn't like we were in a relationship and he cheated on me, but like it it counts, okay? And we agreed that, you know, I was essentially going to like forgive him, or like we were going to work on it and stuff. But I just found like, you know, I'd get drunk or like something, or and like I'd always bring it up. And like at one point he just like was looking at me being like, Rachel, like it's not funny, like, you know, cheating on you or like getting with that girl was like one of the worst things that I've ever done. And I know you're like joking about it, but he kept being like, it's not funny, like I know how much it hurt you and it hurt me. And, you know, we've agreed that we're going to move past it. If you keep bringing it up, like, it's actually not fair on that person. If I know that what they did was wrong, but if you've agreed to not, you know, to move past it, then you actually have to move past it and let it go. You can't keep bringing it up at every moment. Like, if they piss you off, you can't hold it against them and stuff, because that's not fair on them, really, and on yourself, because, you know, you're just re-bringing up that trauma. So you can see, sorry, why that wasn't actually really relevant to what you were talking about. But what I'm saying is that it's not fair on that person for you to sort of use your past experiences like with them. You have sort of every right to like feel that way, and they obviously have to have a level of understanding. But if it's continuously like causing a problem in your new relationship, that's not fair on that other person that actually hasn't wronged you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that you're not allowed to feel that way, because obviously you are going to have like trauma from the past, especially if it really hurt. So what from this is what I'm gathering is you actually aren't over it, like what happened to you. And I don't really know how you get closure in a situation like that, because, you know, I don't think anything, when you've been cheated on, like, there's no real good reason for that. Like, to ever have closure on a situation, it's just, you're left scarred now and you have to deal with this yourself. So it's a sticky one, because I feel like, and you know it as well, and to people that I know that this has happened to and stuff, it's just self-sabotage. And watching someone self-sabotage is so upsetting, because, you know, as an outsider, there's not a lot you can do for someone except just to sort of like tell them, like, you are self-sabotaging. Like, the person that you're with currently is probably and most likely like not cheating on you and not doing.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Anything. And sometimes in situations like this, when you're like pushing a narrative so much, like thinking maybe that they're doing this, they're doing that, sometimes you like almost like drive them to do it. I know that sounds bizarre, and that's obviously what you would not want to happen whatsoever, but you just see it so often. Like, people have this like, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you're not doing that, but then for that person, they suddenly are like, do you know what, you think that I'm out here doing this, so I might as well just fucking do it. And that's really horrible. But like, that shit does happen all of the time. And I don't want that to happen to you. It's so much easier, especially as someone that's not been in like many relationships, if any, to really like experience it firsthand and give you the advice. So for me, it's obviously going to be much easier said than done. But you can't let the past dictate your future. So if you're really finding that it's still constantly playing on your mind, then I think you've got a little bit of like self-work that you need to do and to work on. And I don't really know what that is. It's so easy for me to say like therapy and stuff, but I know therapy's not super accessible for people. But maybe you just need to like talk about that situation like a little bit more, just with like friends or your mum or your dad or like whatever it is. just to really get some healing from it and like have closure just for yourself. But again, I don't necessarily know how one goes about doing that because I don't know. But if you're finding that it's affecting your current relationship, you don't want to self-sabotage it. So either you need to take a step back from the relationship, or while you're in your relationship still, like, just acknowledge that you've got a little bit of work to do on yourself with that situation. And just, yeah, hope that they love you enough to like sort of be patient and like maybe even like help you through it. Like, maybe, yeah, your current partner might be able to help you through it, but it sounds like it's you. Like, you need for yourself work out, like, why is it that you're still feeling this way? Like, are they doing things to make you feel this way? Is it triggered behavior and or like things like that? You just got to pinpoint what it is that's making you act out. Like, are they doing something or is it you? And if it is you and just internalizing everything and overthinking things just because of what's happened in the past, then to me that says that you've not healed from the situation and something that you need to work on. For sure. Ooh, somebody said, my boyfriend is moving in and I'm excited, but I've lived alone for 3 years and don't want to share my space at the same time. Like, I'm 90% looking forward to it and 10% like, ew, why am I living with a boy? My flat is pink and girly and I love it and I don't want to change how it looks or have a PlayStation and ugly things in the house. Oh my goodness, I feel like so many people listening right now can probably relate to that. Like, in the sense of like moving in and like sharing a space with someone can be really scary because, you know, there's no escape. And if you've got like a certain way of doing things and it's not like you're like moving into a place together that's going to be brand new, like together, like this boy is moving into your space. I do think there obviously is going to need to be some compromise. You've agreed to live together, so he is going to have his things there. In terms of the PlayStation and stuff, you know, let's get a TV unit, all right? Let's hide that. I know, like, I feel like when Hannah and her boyfriend like moved in, or I think when she was at his, I remember her sort of saying like she was helping him like get some new furniture and stuff like that to kind of make that. I feel like boys actually want the nice things and it to look nice. They just don't know how to do it. So maybe you can help him. If he's got a lot of clutter, why don't you be like, babe, found this like, you know, organizer on Amazon. Let's get it. And I feel like most people actually like really love that. They just like don't know how to, or like to go about it, or like good taste. And I feel like your boyfriend obviously wants you to find everything about him attractive. So if it's like clutter and stuff, you know, we can help him. Let's get him some drawers, a bedside table. Let's get a TV unit so the PlayStation doesn't have to be out on display. There are going to be compromises, okay? And that's what's going to make living together successful. And also just like relationships in general, like you have to be a team in order for it to work. As soon as like there's a dynamic shift and someone feels like lesser than and stuff, that's when things start to build up and arguments happen because you've got this underlying resentment that, you know, what I'm trying to say, like, it's those kind of things. So I totally understand about living in a pink and girly space, like my like bedroom especially. I know if a guy was to move in, I mean, I would want to keep it looking pretty pristine, but I feel like boys are on the same page. Like, they want like a nice looking space. They just don't really know how to like do that. I think boys hate to say it, but they love a feminine touch when it comes to like making things look nice and things like that. So as long as I think you're communicative, is that the word? And just sort of say or like make suggestions, you know, you've got to be open-minded. You're fully aware that a man is about to be in your space. So, you know, why don't you like treat him to like a bedside table if he hasn't got one, and be like, look, this is for you. You've officially moved in, and then hopefully that can prompt him to be a little bit more like organized and stuff like that. But I think living with a boy, I'm trying to like envision it. I feel like it would be fun. I say that with like, no, I have absolutely no idea. But you know, you can cook. There's so many things that you're going to be like doing together and have all of these new experiences that, yes, obviously moving in is like such a big step. And feels scary. There's just so much change, especially when you've lived alone for 3 years. But then at the same time, so many firsts you're going to like have together to like be excited for and to look forward to. Somebody said, "This is my second year single and I still feel stuck on my ex after splitting up with him. SOS, help me." Ooh, okay. Interesting. I feel like if it's been 2 years and you still feel stuck on your ex, then is it worth revisiting? Over 2 years, you can become totally different people. And it's obviously going to be dependent on why you split up. If you're still adamant that you don't want to get back together, but you just feel like a little bit like hung up on him as such, maybe because no one else has come along or like anything like that, so you just can't help but like reminisce and like think back and like try and justify things, you do have to remember you split up with him in the first place. He was doing something obviously so bad or just like whatever that you could not put up with anymore and you did not want to be with him. Like, don't ever forget that. If it was something not necessarily like minor, I feel like every reason is if you've got those thoughts, like a valid reason to sort of like break up if you feel like that's what you need to do. But if it was just like about kind of maybe who they were as a person at the time, they just like, you know, weren't doing things that maybe required like a bit of maturity or a bit of growing up. Like you said, it's been 2 years. So it might be worth revisiting and might be just worth a conversation if you're still in touch. But if you've not like actively been like trying to go out and like date and stuff and you're just kind of resorting back to that because it's easy, then I would just like strongly recommend like don't do it, because that I don't think is a valid reason to go back to an ex, just because, you know, not necessarily that you're bored, but, you know, if you've not like been out there and tried, if you've been out there and like have been dating, you've been on dates, been seeing other people, and just some the spark that you know that you can have with someone like just still isn't there. And yeah, the time has passed with this ex and the reason that you guys broke up wasn't like anything like serious. Like it was just, you know, circumstantial type things. I don't think there's any issue of going back and saying like, hey, like, how are you? Like, how are you doing? Like, just see where they're at in their life and just go from there. I feel like it's so quick to be like, you never go back to an ex, like, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes all you needed was time apart to realize and become the people that you both always wanted each other to be, and then trying again. It doesn't always have to be this like toxic thing, but then obviously it's totally circumstantial. But don't beat yourself up or think you're like weak or like, oh my God, like I shouldn't do that because of I don't know what people are going to think or whatever. If you're still thinking about him after 2 years, you owe it to yourself to just like send a message. Why not? You had a history with this person. If they're receptive to it and you're chatting again and it feels good, like just go with the flow and just trust your feelings and trust your gut. Okay, let's do a couple more. Somebody said, dating a guy that is so nice and sweet, but got the ick when we kissed. Oh, I always say to people, I'm such a I don't mind kissing on a first date kind of person, first or second date, because I think a kiss says so much. When you kiss someone, it either goes like one way or another. It either felt right or it didn't. The sparks were flying or they weren't. So like if you wait to like kiss someone till like the third day and you've like invested time into them and the kiss was shit and there was like no sexual chemistry, it's just like a bit of a waste of time, really. So like I'm actually all for kissing on the first date, because I think that's really going to set the tone. If you had such a nice time, the kiss to kiss felt natural and it was a really good kiss, oh my God, I want to see them again 100%. Like, and I know that for sure. There's no like if, buts or maybes. So if you've kissed and you got the ick, I feel like if you got the ick from a kiss, imagine if it progresses further or he tries to come on to you and, you know, want to do more than just a kiss, I think subconsciously you're probably gonna like give off an energy that's sort of like not really receptive to that. And that can be, I don't know, embarrassing, a little bit awkward. Like, it's just not a situation either of you really want to be in. Like, I feel like if I've got the ick, like, I can't help but like show it in my face to just be like the things that you're doing. Like, because he'll probably want to like rub, like, I don't know, like rub your leg or like hold your hand. And you're just going to be thinking like, oh my God, no, like I've got the ick. So as much as he's really nice and sweet, I think sexual chemistry is a massive part in a relationship going forward and just keeping it healthy. And like, in order to have a good relationship, you need the good sexual chemistry. You want to look at each other all the time thinking like, God, I just think you're so sexy and I love, like, yeah. So I think you've kind of, yeah, I'm probably giving you the answer that you knew I was going to say, which is if you got the ick when you kissed, I think you need to call it a day there, because anything else that you do, your ick is just going to shine through. Somebody said, I hate my job. I feel like working full-time/9-to-5 is mind-numbing and it drains the fuck out of me. I feel so bad for people that just like hate what they're doing, because working is like, it sounds really shit, but it's basically what we do for like all of our lives. So you want to be doing something that you love doing, because essentially it's how you spend like, you know, like at least 70% of your time, like especially if it's a 9-to-5, like every day you're doing this thing. So to be in love with what you do is such a blessing. And I feel so bad for people that just obviously don't like their job. So that the only advice I can say is just quit your job. Like, I know that's really scary, and you know, in times like this, to quit a job and try and find something else feels like a really scary thing to do. So maybe if you're feeling this way anyway, start looking at other things. What is it that you love to do? Like, what are your hobbies? You know, and then therefore, I'm sure there must be something out there where you can like put your hobbies into somewhere, and you know, they can tell you like jobs related to that. Or, you know, do your friends do things that you're like, God, that sounds fun, or like that I would enjoy? Or they just talk about how much they like what they're doing. So maybe you could do something similar to that and like apply for different jobs like that. It's worth going on a few interviews, or like maybe even going for meetings with people that are designed to kind of help you find what it is that you love doing in life. And if you've got some like standout like hobbies and passions and things like that that you really like to do, finding jobs sort of related in that field. It's not like you've only got one life, and to spend so much of your life doing something that you hate, you don't want to look back and be like, oh God, I was stuck in that fucking job for like 10 years and I hated it and I wish I quit sooner. Like, just do it. Like I said, you've got one life. There's so many other jobs out there that there will be something that you love to do. Or maybe if it's the whole full-time thing, working 9-to-5, you find it mind-numbing and it drains the fuck out of you. I don't know. Obviously, I can't just be like, be self-employed, but like, I don't... I'm like probably the worst person to give advice about this, because, you know, I'm not doing that. And I'm very fortunate to have such a enjoyable job that allows me to be relaxed as much as it is like full on in other aspects. Like, I never want to complain about my job, because the downsides of my job are like, yes, I'm entitled to have feelings about this is shit, like in this job, like this is shit. Like, I'm allowed to say that. But I just know that there's so many other amazing things about this job that outweigh that, and that are like you can't really relate to them in such a way. So I never want to sound like out of touch. So I'm trying to like think of like the best way to like answer that, because I feel like maybe a lot of people listening might feel that way too. But I mean, all I can say is that your passion is going to be out there somewhere, but you're not going to be able to find it still stuck in this job that you hate. So just, I don't know, take the plunge. Like, what, like, I don't know if that's a risky thing to say or suggest, but anything is going to be better if you're thinking it's mind-numbing and it's draining the fuck out of you and you literally said the words, I hate my job, babe, you've got to quit. Like, you don't want to look back on your life and wish that you just did all of these things sooner, because you never know in life, really. But just, yeah, have like a little think. If you're like thinking like this, start reaching out to other places for interviews or applying for jobs. Start thinking like, what is it that you enjoy? And if you actually don't know that either, having a little bit of time to yourself to discover what you love in life is so important. And that's never a waste of time. Okay, let's end on this one because I feel like this is going to be relatable. Somebody said, a friend with benefits only replies once a day. I make the effort to travel to him 1 hour each way. I'm literally the only one to put effort in. Do I cut it off? If you're the person that sent this in and you're listening right now and I've just read that out, surely from hearing me say that out loud, you know, absolutely cut it off. And I hope anyone else that's listening and I just read that out shouted, cut it off. Obviously cut it off. To put so much effort into something and like not receive the same energy back is only going to make you feel shit. Like, it is so incredibly draining to give to someone that just takes and you're not getting like anything back that like can even like justify the amount of effort that you're putting in, unless you're going to say like, yeah, no, the sex is so good, that's why you're putting the effort in. But you can have sex that like, the sex might be good, okay, but there's also like 10 other people out there that would give you like the same quality of sex and put the effort in and want to see you and date you and probably like want to be with you. Like, this is only a friends with benefits. So I would say absolutely cut it off. But then actually, now just saying that out loud, you've just said it's a friends with benefits, so like, does he actually really owe you like a lot of effort? Just out of like respect, I feel like, yeah, absolutely. A friends with benefits should be a two-way street. But when you agree to be friends with benefits with someone, you know, it's because you don't want the like pressure of like anything. It's meant to be a fairly chilled thing. But you've sent the message in. I feel like it's because it's annoying you. You want some effort. You want to like know that you're worth the travel and stuff like that. So yeah, I think there'll be another friends of benefits out there for you that is going to be same quality as sex. You'll get it good. Maybe you won't even have to travel an hour away. It's probably just around the corner. Okay, it's nice to feel wanted. It's nice to have someone feel like, you know, they're wanting to put effort into you. So if it's getting you down, 100% cut it off, because yeah, it's only going to just drain you at the end of the day. Right, I feel like we covered a vast range of dilemmas there. I've got so many that I didn't answer. I feel like I need to do a dilemma dumping like on the regular, because it helps. Because sometimes I see people send things in that I can also relate to. So like, as much as I'm giving you guys advice when I'm reading these, and if I can resonate with them, it's almost like I'm giving them to myself as well. You know, this self-therapy thing. I love it. And I love having this podcast, and why I love doing these sorts of episodes. So if I read out your dilemma, I really hoped it helped. Or if you resonated with any of these dilemmas, I hope these helped. Started off your Monday having a bit of a goss, having a bit of a, yeah, dilemma dumping and a little bit of advice and self-therapy. What a great way to start the week. But I hope you all have a fabulous week, and I will see you next Monday. I'm gonna try and work on my guest lists. But can you guys help me, okay? Send me in guests that you want to see, or types of people that you want to see, because then that might help me figure out like who to get on. I can get a good set of guests lined up. I want to get my interviewing gig back in gear. And yeah, I love chatting with people as well. As much as I love chatting to myself and these, all of these ones, and answering your guys' things and questions and dilemmas, so I'm not just like talking to myself, as much as I love that, interviewing, I want to work on it. I want to get the guests on. So send them in to the Rated R podcast. I love you guys. Have a fabulous rest of the week and happy Monday. I'm glad to be back.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.